from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is fascinating. This is his narrative. He started off at Reedley Community College. Then he transferred to Wyoming. Yeah. And in our own draft room, we had a lot of debate about his accuracy and his completion percentage. That's why he wasn't a top three pick. And to me, if you said he was overrated coming out, Greeny, I would understand that. Because, again, there was a massive disagreement over his ability. But fast forward now, I'm floored by this because he could beat you from the pocket. But I know when we were defending him, we were scared to death what he could do outside the pocket. And he's only gotten better.
Yep. Mike Tenenbaum on Josh Allen and the overrated conversation. It is very important to at least point out, like, listen, let's get mad about it and rally and beat our chest. But, like, overrated does not mean bad. No.
No, it doesn't.
You know who else is overrated? Saquon Barkley. Okay. There's another one for you. Overrated.
He's overrated?
Yes.
Who's a receiver that's overrated?
A receiver that's overrated. Gabe Davis for a little while. Right? Didn't Davis get out a little ahead of what he...
Sure. Yep.
He's not bad.
Didn't Mike Evans call him like one of the most complete receivers in the game or something? Mm. Mike Evans had like a glowing comment about him that
Diggs back, said he was ready to be a number one.
So famously, did Emmanuel
famously
Sanders.
Bad teammate.
Yeah.
Who else?
I think Deebo Samuel might be overrated.
Okay. He's good.
He's very good.
But he's been getting more credit for the Niners at receiver while Ayuk's the better player. Right?
Yeah, I think people think Deebo is better than he is because he does everything. And I think he's very good at everything, but I'm not sure he's... Like, if he... Would we think Deebo Samuel is, like, a superstar receiver in the league if he didn't run? If he never played, like, running back? They even have all these extra packages for him. If he just went out there and ran routes like a receiver, would he be thought of as an elite receiver? Probably not.
Not elite, no.
He'd be good. He'd be really good. I think Pickens might be
okay.
Also in Pittsburgh.
We have a Bills move. The Bills are signing former Vikings first-round safety Lewis Cine to the practice squad. So someone's going to go. Lewis Cine.
We talked about him the other day for
this
a minute.
This is not that different than what they just did at receiver. And I do like doing this. High pick.
Yeah.
First-round pick, safety, Lewis Cine, Vikings.
Who hasn't really played in the league.
He's been hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But he's a first-round pick.
So we don't know, like, we haven't seen whether he's good or not because he can't get on the field.
So everybody the Bills wanted back on their practice squad, they are going to get, but someone's going to go to make room for Lewis Cine. Mike Garofalo reporting this, Ian Rappaport reporting this, that he's on his way to Buffalo right now.
Yeah.
And that's Lewis Cine.
32nd overall in 2022 from Georgia.
That Georgia defense had a bunch of first-round picks, and almost none of them have really played out to be great players. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to that draft class. Like, N'Kobe Dean is one of the guys there. Quez Watkins, maybe. I saw a list of that defense had a ton of first-round picks and a ton of high picks, and they've not really done what they should. That the Georgia defense was amazing, and we thought it was going to just... you know, supplement the entire NFL.
The linemen especially were like, holy cow, they were like trees. They were bigger than everybody that went across them. That Georgia team. Look how many people got drafted. Trayvon Walker went number one overall. That hasn't really...
He's okay.
He's okay, but number one. Aiden Hutchinson was second. He's not better than Aiden Hutchinson.
No, he's not.
Jordan Davis in Philadelphia.
It was a controversial pick.
Yep. Quay Walker in Green Bay. Devontae Wyatt in Green Bay.
Right. Like, it's a whole Georgia defense. And so we'll see. That's an answer at safety that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's a position we've watched for quite some time because of the injuries there and the turnover there. That is a, you know, kind of like a blue chip prospect, but he's done nothing in Cincinnati or in Minnesota.
He's played 10 snaps.
Right. Drafted,
on defense, at least. He's played 10 snaps.
Injury's a big factor there, but, you know, there's whether he doesn't have it anymore or what. We'll have to talk to Matthew Collar about him. I'll send a phone call out to see what we can get to know about Lewis Seen, who's going to join the Bills practice squad. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you want to chime in, join us. We're also talking about, you know, the whole Josh Allen overrated thing. And I wanted to ask you this before we get to some more calls. So I just saw, looking at some NFL futures bets, just taking a look, sometimes just fun, because it's not any different than looking at my fantasy roster. I want to see odds. And I saw a special offered.
Okay.
Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Dalton Kincaid to each have 5 receiving touchdowns this year. All 3.
Coleman, Kincaid, and Shakir.
Yep. The 3 primary targets, I guess that leaves out Samuel.
Yeah.
Those 3 to each have 5 receiving touchdowns this year. We'll call it the Everybody Eats Parlay, right?
Yep.
Rank them in order of who is most to least likely to get 5 receiving touchdowns this year. I wonder if you have the same 1, 2, 3 that I would.
I'd go Kincaid number 1.
I would also go Kincaid.
I would actually feel way more confident in Kincaid than the other two. I almost feel like I have to put Coleman second.
I would also put Coleman second. And then Shakir third. Likelihood to get 5 touchdowns. Kincaid, I think, is the lock. And Shakir, it's not that I don't think he's going to get a lot of catches.
Right.
But wouldn't it be very ordinary, or you would not be surprised at all if Shakir had more catches than Coleman, but Coleman had more touchdowns than Shakir. I just think they're going to target Coleman in the red zone a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I...
Big body.
See, I don't know that it'll be as much as people are building it up to be, but is it going to be more than Shakir? I think it's going to be more than Shakir. Shakir, I mean, he had 2 touchdowns, one of which that comes to mind is the jet one, where it's from their own 20-yard line, mm-hmm. right? And he takes it the whole way. He did also have 2 touchdowns in the playoffs. There's the Pittsburgh one where he made 5 people miss right on his way to the end zone.
Yeah.
And then there's another one against Kansas City where him and Allen just pulled it out of their butts. Like, Allen's running around and he fits a ball into there was no spot, and him and Shakir just made it happen. It's kind of a broken play. So how many touchdowns were intended to go to Khalil Shakir last year? Of the 4 he scored, like maybe 1 of them. I don't know that I like that parlay, though. How often does it get that you have 3 players in the same offense score 5 receiving touchdowns? Like, do we think it's happened with Allen? Last year, Diggs had 8. Davis had 7. Nobody else had 5. Do we think, like, when they had the 4 receivers, they had they had Sanders, like one of those years, maybe they had 3 guys that got 5 touchdowns? The other tough part is just Allen steals so many touchdowns by rushing the football.
Yeah, that's what you're betting against, is that they're going to pass the ball in the red zone.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Diggs 11, Davis 7, Knox 6.
Okay.
So maybe it's happened, and Knox the year before that had 9. So maybe it's actually happened a couple of times.
803-0550. I have another question about overrated in a minute. Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe. Yeah, I chuckle with this whole overrated Josh Allen thing because, personally, I've been going to physical therapy for my shoulder. I had it replaced, right? So my physical therapist, she's into football. She's a Giants fan. And, of course, I'm surrounded by Giants and Jets fans. And, you know, the first thing that comes out of her mouth is, oh, you're a Bills fan? And I say, yeah. And he said, first thing out of her mouth is, I wish we had Josh Allen. And then I started doing my own little poll here. I'll ask my friends, who would you rather have, your quarterback or Josh Allen? And the first thing out of their mouth is Josh Allen. You know, and I mean, it's just like, whoever voted for, I mean, what was it, the Players Association or something like that, that voted him as overrated?
100 players.
It was 100 players and 11 of them
voted.
And 11
said he's the most overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, I feel, if anything, and I'm sure Josh Allen's caught wind of this, obviously, this should give him more motivation to prove them wrong, because he is not overrated. And like I said, if you ask anybody, even if you have friends, who would you rather have if they're not happy with their quarterback? Who would you rather have?
Well, if they're not happy with their quarterback, they're going to pick Allen. I mean, ESPN last week did this, and he wasn't picked. Like, who's the best chance to beat Mahomes? It was Prescott, Burrow, Jackson, and Stroud. I mean, how many fan bases would trade their quarterback for Josh Allen? It's probably 25. It's not 31.
No.
Would Cincinnati do
28,
it?
28, maybe it's
28. It's not Cincinnati. Would Houston? Would Green Bay? I mean, I don't think it's a slam dunk. Don't underestimate how much people are going to love their own guys.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
There was that crazy, crazy scenario about, who was it that suggested the Bills should trade Allen to the Bears for the first pick?
Oh, that happened. Yeah.
It did happen.
There also was a Giants guy who said they should trade
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones on like 3 first-round picks for Allen.
Yeah.
That was mentioned.
Would Bears fans trade Caleb Williams for Josh Allen right now?
Yes. Yes.
Don't underestimate people getting really excited about that. Don't underestimate.
I know, but yes, they would say it. They have to.
I know.
They'd have to say yes. Yeah, they have to say yes.
803-0550.
Does Lewis seen these college highlights I'm watching right now?
Yeah.
This dude was flying at Georgia.
I said someone has to go off the practice squad. That's not right. Sal made the distinction that Kingsley Jonathan gets the exemption.
He's an exemption.
So Lewis Cine can just jump onto the practice squad. Former Viking safety. The Bills are going to bring him in. He was thought to be going to the Jets, and now he's coming to the Bills.
The other news in the last minute is that Jerod Mayo said Jacoby Brissett's their week one starter.
Wow.
Jacoby Brissett will start week one against the Bengals. That's a choice. I mean, they're doing it to protect May, right?
He said
May outplayed him.
They're saying we are not good enough to protect him. Which, it's kind of stunning that you are, if I could get in on the Patriots here for a moment, which is always a lot of fun to do. Remember, the Patriot way, for 2 decades, they just do things differently. They're just so much smarter than everybody. Consider this for a moment. They're coming right off of drafting a rookie quarterback. Mac Jones got 2 seasons?
Three.
Three. Mac Jones got 3 seasons, and he's out, and Drake May is in. The fact that you don't have anything around the quarterback to help a young quarterback, you just had one.
Yeah.
You just should have been on a timeline where you had enough pieces around a young quarterback. This is not everybody got old and retired and you had to start over again. You were mid-rebuild.
Right.
You should absolutely have enough linemen and receivers to help prop up Mac Jones. And then when Mac Jones doesn't work out, you go get another guy and plug him right in. And you can't even play him week one?
Yeah. Well, Belichick was really bad at it, right?
He was terrible.
He missed.
How could you be so bad at surrounding a young quarterback that this is going to be year 4 of trying to do it, and you're not ready for it?
You can't put him in when you admitted publicly he was better than the veteran.
What a disgrace. What a joke.
I mean, look what they spent their money on. They just cut Juju Smith-Schuster. How much guaranteed money did they give him? Right, that was one of their big free agent signings. They signed Nelson Aguilar. They signed Hunter Henry. You know, like Gesicki last year. Like this is what they were spending their money on. Belichick dug them this hole, I think.
He did. And they give the position to Jerod Mayo. I know he's going to focus on defense, but if you're a franchise and you have drafted in 4 years 2 different franchise quarterbacks with the intent to get them right and see what they're made of, building yourself a defense is not what to do. The Bears are doing it right.
Yeah, the Bears are like, we're giving this guy everything
he can possibly have on the offense. They've rebuilt that offensive line over the last 2 years. Stud receivers, go out and trade for a running back you can trust, and DeAndre Swift. Like, man, New England has a young quarterback that earned the start, and they can't play him.
Well, like last year, it's funny, like looking at last year's draft class for them, I'm looking at like some of their picks. What was Belichick's last draft? His first five picks, defensive back, defensive back, offensive line, kicker.
Incredible.
Like that's there you go. Those could have been year two pieces on offense that you were helping build around a quarterback, and you drafted two defensive backs and a kicker.
That's amazing.
And before that, like there's the receiver pick from 2 years ago, Tyquan Thornton. He was bad at drafting, right? He was bad at drafting. He was bad at identifying the receivers. He let Jacoby Myers walk to the Raiders probably because he was mad that he threw the ball to Chandler Jones and lost him
and
a football
game. Jacoby Myers is better than any receiver they have.
No, they signed Juju instead.
Right.
They signed Juju instead of Jacoby Myers, and Myers is a good receiver, and Juju is shot. He can't run. So Belichick dug him the hole. And they're still paying for it.
Yep.
But listen, at some point during the year, you got to go to him.
They're going to go to May eventually. I'm sure.
So like at some point, you are going to commit to putting him behind that line and putting him out there with those receivers and putting him out there with that coordinator. So you're only delaying the inevitable. If you might be scared to put him in, but what are you going to do? Not play him all year? You can't do that, right?
Well, there's a reasonable question. Gerard Mayo feel like he has to win games? And does he think this is the best play to win games?
If he was worried about that, wouldn't he play the guy he thought outplayed?
I know.
Was the better player? Because he said he thought the better player was May.
It's really tough to make sense. Like, you don't need to protect Jacoby Brissett. You could just lose games with Jacoby Brissett playing. He doesn't need the protection.
That's what I mean. I feel
is he going to play way more conservative? Is he going to... I mean, I don't even know.
No, you just think he'll be able to take the hits?
I can't even believe it. That they would, they're choosing the second best quarterback to protect the first best quarterback. Are they going to try to win games?
Again, like the weird thing to me is just if you're going to use this logic of we're putting in Brissett because we're afraid to put May in this offense, if that's your logic, you never get to May. You should, if you want to hold to that philosophy, you never put him in year one. And I don't believe that they'll never put him in. Are they looking at the schedule? Are they saying, hey, first 6 weeks of the year, man, look at New England's schedule in the beginning. They go Cincinnati, Seattle, Jets, Niners, Dolphins, Texans. Are they saying, hey, first month of the year is a bloodbath, so let's put Brissett in for the first month, and we'll get May in when we get to a softer part of our schedule. Is that the plan?
Possible.
When we play the Colts and the Rams and the Cardinals.
Field Yates moments ago, or a few minutes ago, the Browns restructure the contract of Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, that's smart. Commit to him longer.
They created $35 million in cap space.
Oh? Did you have the same thought I just did?
Is that Brandon Ayuk?
I was going to say. They were in on Ayuk before,
yep,
weren't they?
Cleveland has over $62 million in cap space. The most in the entire NFL.
They have $62 million in cap space?
Yeah, they just created $35.
They'd have to be doing this for something,
they
right?
Because
isn't the idea of restructuring when you restructure, you're committing to the guy for a longer period of time? Isn't that how that works?
Yes. You're committing
and
to...
what in the world would anybody want to commit to Watson longer for?
You're committing to more cap hits later. The reason you can do that, all right, this is where I'm going to get to the salary cap's not real. It is real, but it's not real. Why would you commit to more later so you could try and win now? And if you...
But what are you going
to
spend $62 million on?
I don't know. You're going to spend 30 of it maybe on Brandon Ayuk.
But by this logic, they had 27.
I know. They had enough space to do it already.
They had $27 million. What are they... I don't know. That's very, very strange to me. Again, it's not like Watson is somebody, it's not Allen, it's not Mahomes, where you go, oh, we restructured our quarterback, and like, oh, okay, cool, that's fine, because I'm not worried about, Allen's going to be here for 10 years, right? I'm not worried about kicking money down the road, because he's not going anywhere. Watson, like, they should be thinking right now about how soon they can get out of that. And instead, they're going to make it harder for themselves. These are two very weird decisions in the last 20 minutes by two different teams.
I mean, is Brandon Ayuk going to go ahead and get traded to the Browns? And sign a big, huge extension?
You know what I'm going to look up now?
And Amari Cooper is headed to the Niners?
That's what I was going to wonder. Do they have to eat money to trade Cooper? Because if they have to fit Ayuk in and eat money to send Cooper back to San Francisco, is that where they need the money? I don't know the answer. I'm just guessing at what maybe they could be trying to do here. Ayuk to Cleveland would be really interesting.
Would it?
Yes. I think that's a loaded roster that just needs something at quarterback.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, they're an incredible. They've arguably the best roster in football outside of quarterback. Ayuk to the Browns would hurt my soul.
Fine. Yep.
Whatever. It's not as bad as the Steelers, though. Mike in East Aurora. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good, Mike.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I was just calling in today because we've been talking about the roster like all offseason, and I'm just frustrated like a lot of people with the coach, and I'm wondering what you guys think. How many more years McDermott's going to get to coach the team? This will be his eighth season.
Yeah. I would set the over-under at 4.5.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any threat of any at all.
So it'd be reasonable to expect 5 more seasons?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Let me lay it out a couple of reasons why. Even if they have a bad year, it's supposed to be a transition year. If they're competitive in a transition year, the next year they got $62 million in cap space and a bunch of picks. Like, they're loaded to add talent next year. So even if this is his worst season, let's say they don't win the division for the first time in 5 years. Not firing the coach. They love the coach. The coach is part of the family.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And then they'll come back next year, reloaded. Josh Allen's still going to be here. The only thing that could get McDermott out is if he and Allen had a falling out and Allen wanted to push him out the door. That you might have a shot at, but I don't think that's anywhere. There's no reason to think that's going to happen. So I'd put the over-under at 4.5 years. Anyone want to take the under? Where can I make the bet? I'll take the over. Would you put it any different if you're doing a betting line on this? And that's not to say that criticism or wondering is misplaced or crazy or any of that. I just have absolutely no inclination.
Because I mostly agree with you. For it to happen anytime soon, it would have to come from Allen. And I don't even know that Allen is, even if he thought things like that, if he's the type of person that would make it known. Like, when you say, like, he would have had to sign off on Diggs, for instance. Like, I don't know. I don't know that he voices his opinion. We had that story from, was it Tim Graham a couple of weeks ago, about mm-hmm. they want him to be more of a, less of one of the guys in the room. If Allen thinks he's one of the guys, he doesn't give you his opinion on whether or not they should trade Diggs. He doesn't give you his opinion on whether or not they should have Sean McDermott as their head coach. He just goes to work.
He's just along for the ride. He's just a little bit.
Right.
Like, he's leading in his way.
So for that to happen with McDermott, I think it would have to be a big change in the way Allen is. Because otherwise, you know, like, what would the results have to be for him to no longer be their head coach? It's tough to imagine it, but it's got to be 3 or 4 years of them falling well short of expectation, right? They've got to, like, what would have to happen for it to be solely based on results? What would have to happen? Him missing the playoffs, like, 3 or 4 years?
I mean, it would have
It's something that I can't even fathom,
right,
that it would take. That might do it. If they miss the playoffs 3 of the next 4 years, sure, I think he could get fired.
Yeah, thanks,
but
Mike.
But I can't imagine it.
However, you know, to bring up McDermott, I thought about posing this question, you know, tweeting out a quick little overrated conversation, right? I said, yeah, I've got another one, another overrated question, but I didn't write it because I was afraid to see how many responses would say McDermott. All this Josh is overrated talk from 11 NFL players. If I tweet, who's the most overrated coach in the NFL, does McDermott get more answers than anybody from Bills fans? I mean, there's a unifying factor there. But I didn't send it because I thought I'm going to get a lot more McDermott here than I think.
You are going to get a lot of McDermott.
Who are the other candidates?
Tomlin.
I agree. And then who?
Sean Payton.
Mike McDaniel might get some nods from Bills fans.
Maybe.
He hasn't won that much. Yeah. Hasn't beaten a good team.
Robert Saleh. You're just going to get your guys in your own division, probably. All right. McCarthy.
Wonder who NFL players would say is the most overrated NFL coach.
McCarthy. I feel like haven't players said things about him before, even other than Rodgers? Maybe it's all Rodgers that's in my head and former Packer guys.
Yeah.
The most overrated coach in the league, who would players say that about? They would say it about that cheat, Jim Harbaugh. Yo, this Connor Stallions documentary. Man. I guess, you know, nothing that some other teams don't do either, but Michigan was full-on cheating. It just happens to be that maybe a lot of other teams were doing it too. But they were just, yeah, we were cheating. That whole documentary Netflix just released, The Untold with Connor Stallions, the whole point is, yes, we were cheating the whole time, but everyone else does it too. Or all these other teams are doing it. Which I guess is fine.
Let's get stupid. The Browns are trading for Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk.
Okay. Man, that would be a move. Or are they... No, they can't. They can't do anything with Watson. No, what a bad contract.
And his
$72 million cap hits the next 2 years. And like again,
I think his dead cap next year, if they cut him, is $172 million.
Sweet.
They would just announce, like, we're not going to have a season this year.
I mean, his shoulder might be toast.
803-0550. We've reached out to Matthew Collar maybe to see if we can learn about Lewis Cine, former first-round pick, Vikings safety. He was let go. He's signing with the Bills on their practice squad per multiple reports. When we get back, a UB preview. UB football starts tonight. It's football season. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Yeah, the buy-in has been tremendous. It has been a pleasure to work with these guys. I can count the number of practices since we got here on one hand that I haven't been totally excited about the effort and the chemistry that's building out there. So I do believe these guys love what they do. They're invested. They're buying into the culture. They're practicing hard. I think that'll translate to playing hard. Now the key is how quickly can we come together and put a product out there on the field to look as if we've been together for a few years and not just a few months.
UB football coach Pete Lembo, he's on with Sal on the Extra Point Show. UB plays tonight. We're going to do a little preview. Friend of the show, Brad Ryder, joining us on the Wester Hotline. He's on the UB broadcasts, and we're going to talk about UB. Hey, Brad.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. You know,
yeah.
Football season starts in a week in the NFL. We got college football underway, and UB season starts tonight. It's a great time of year.
I'll tell you what's cool is I went outside, I guess yesterday was kind of medium, maybe that was a transition day, but I mean, 2 days ago it felt like the middle of summer. It was hot, it was get the kids in the pool weather. I got up this morning, I went outside, and it felt like there's a football game today. It's just there's the little bit of the chill in the air. I know how you feel about fall.
Yeah.
I feel that way too, especially when I've got a football game to attend tonight. So pretty pumped to see this thing get rolling tonight, and it feels like football weather, and I'm in Amherst, so let's go.
Sometimes it's about temperature. Sometimes it's about cloud cover. You know, a good cloud cover makes me feel like a football game.
Yeah, yeah. The vibe is right. As of whatever, 7:30 this morning, the vibe was right. I haven't been outside since then, but I think we are looking good, and I'm really excited to get this new era of Bulls football underway. Just hearing the little lead in there of Pete Lembo talking, what a different situation it is right now to have this guy in this role. He feels very secure and very comfortable, and he's been there and he's done that, and he's been a head coach in this conference before, and he just feels like he belongs and he feels like he wants to be here, and that was not the case over the last 3 years. So there's a different vibe heading into tonight's game, which is against an FCS team. Keep in mind, the Bulls, seasons in a row, have lost to an FCS team. One of those is in a season where they ended up going to and winning a bowl game. They won the Camellia Bowl to finish 7-6 2 years ago. But last year, the tone was really set early by losing the Holy Cross and winding up, or excuse me, Fordham was last year. Holy Cross was the year before. Losing to Fordham, it ends up being a 3-win season. They never really got themselves on track. So hopefully the point of these games is to get yourself a win early. And hopefully they can get that and get feeling the way that Coach Lembo wants them to feel.
Pete Lembo is the head coach. He's been at Ball State. He's also been like South Carolina, Maryland. You know, Brad, you're talking about like a guy that feels like he belongs there or whatever. Like, does that come down to he's been around big programs for you? Like, what is it that he's been in? He's been in the battles, I guess you might say.
Yeah, well, he's been a head coach in the MAC at Ball State, and from what I understand, his decision to leave Ball State and become assistant coach elsewhere had a lot to do with where he wanted to raise his family. Now his kids are older, his kids are in school, and he was interested in coming here and taking another shot at a head coaching job. His last role was as special teams coordinator for Special Teams University, which is Virginia Tech. He's got the Beamer thing on his resume. I went to a scrimmage here at UB, and I've heard he stresses special teams. I don't know that they did any offense or defense. We were there for like 2 hours, and it was just, all right, now it's 4th and 2. Great, time to punt. He just loves, I know you don't like punting, but he loved the process of getting his team ready to be prepared in all these different situations. And what was really cool, it was almost like a mic'd up type of situation. Like, I can watch any training camp, you know, Hard Knocks type of thing, because you hear what's going on. But a lot of times you're at a practice, and you see this with Bills camp, you don't really understand what's happening because you don't hear the communication that's taking place. Coach Lembo was standing in a UB stadium with no fans, just us, you know, media type of people and staff and whatever. But he had on a mic. His voice was going over the PA of the stadium the whole time. So he got some insight into how he talks to his players and how he's thinking through the process and what he expects of them. And it was really refreshing and interesting and super cool. Like, it was worthy of being on television. And I felt lucky to be in the stadium to be around it. But you get that vibe that he stresses about detail. He is very, of course, he's team oriented because he's a football coach, or, you know, with a roster of like 100 kids. But he just seemed to have all of it under control and had the right approach to make it a learning process as opposed to making it about him, which is kind of what I got off of the last guy who was here.
How about the roster this year, Brad, including how the quarterback battle went? And they end up landing on, I think, a guy that, you know, athletically at least, is an exciting idea.
Have you been playing the video game at all,
yeah.
Joe? Oh my God!
Not yet. I've been trying to get Joe on it. Yeah. Brad, in the video game, they can pass it.
Yes, they can. And they're very interesting. Now, this is the problem with the video game. I don't know where you are, Jared, but I've been playing franchise or dynasty mode with UB. So I'm into like season 4, and I get really excited about a guy, and then I realize he's some made-up dude that I recruited 2 years ago and isn't really going to be on the roster. So I'm like, all right, this J.J. Jenkins seems good. Okay, he's legit. He's really there. And then I'm like, Messiah Birch is a revelation. And I look, and he's a redshirt freshman. He's going to be there. So I'll tell you right now, 3 years from now, Messiah Birch is going to be great. What's he going to look like tonight against Lafayette? I'm not positive. But I will say, C.J. Agbana he played a little bit last year, and he's been around. He was a JUCO guy, won a national championship as a JUCO guy, was an FCS guy for a year, and then came to UB last year, and Cole Snyder was the starter, but Agbana was kind of the change of pace guy. He was used in that annoying way where every time he came in, you knew he was going to run. So it was frustrating to watch, but I think it was probably frustrating for him too. He's been given the actual keys to the offense this year, and that frees him up to think his way through it, as opposed to getting jammed in there on a, you know, third and six where they're going to run, he's going to roll left and try to sprint for the first down. It got kind of frustrating to watch that. And the few times that he did get the opportunity to pass, he looked like he'd been practicing running in camp this year. And I haven't been there all the time. I've been to a few practices, but he looks far more in control, far more competent, and far more like he recognizes his opportunity in this offense. So he's done it before. He just wasn't put in this role previously at UB. So I'm excited to see what he can do. Hopefully get it rolling tonight against Lafayette.
And the weapons, the receivers, McMillan, Morrow, like that's, as I say, they can throw it. You and I are half kidding. Long, long ago, Brad and I played college football, the video game, every single day for about a full year, and yeah. May or may not have formed our entire draft board based on the game, and probably did as good a job as any NFL general manager in determining who was good and who wasn't. So
we got Phillip Rivers, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He was great in that game. So that said, like Chance Morrow and McMillan, like at receiver, I think UB has options here.
Yeah, they definitely have some talent spread around, and it goes down to some of the younger guys. Victor Snow is going to be a part of this thing as well. I expect to see a lot out of him. They brought in Taji Johnson, who is the younger brother of former Bulls cornerback Najee Johnson, who's been around for a while, is actually a scout. I think he's still with the Texans. But he looks like a monster, just a big, I don't know what he's listed at, 6'3", 215. He looks every bit that big, probably larger. It looks like they've got options. Can Agbana throw the way that we need him to make these weapons matter? That remains to be seen. I think this defense is going to be good. I think they are skilled at the wide receiver and running back position. They've got Jake Orlando tight end on a watch list in a good way, not like a criminal type of thing, just, tight end award watch list. Can he throw the ball? And do they have a game plan to make it all work? That remains to be seen. I think the defense is going to be good. They're bringing back several, maybe seven players starting. There's only a few coming back on the offense that are starting, but their offensive line has some experience too. They're, I think, four of the five have started at some point. It's football. It's going to come down to what's that quarterback do and what sort of plan do they have for him. But I am definitely hopeful that they can do some good things this year.
All right. The Lafayette Leopards tonight. Do their uniforms have spots? If they don't, I don't want to hear from them.
If they don't, they're doing it wrong.
That's
I'll
right.
tell you that.
That's right.
No, I don't know. What's funny is I learn about one of these teams every year. You don't know a lot about Holy Cross football until about midway through the second quarter of the game when you're playing against them. And I'm sure the coaching staff knows a lot about Lafayette. I know nothing about Lafayette except that they're picked to win the Patriot League this year and that the Bulls have really stepped in it against Patriot League teams recently. So let's hope that trend switches around and then the Bulls can get rolling tonight.
I'm looking right now. Couldn't be more lame or uniforms.
They don't have the spots. How do you have a team Leopards and not have spots?
Their helmet doesn't even have the logo on it. It's just an L.
Get out of here.
Anyone could have an L.
L is for lame.
That's right. That's right. And for
careful. It's bulletin board material.
Let's have the UB social media team get ready for that. Let's hand them that L, Get on it.
Perfect.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Brad Ryder, he's on the UB broadcast team. The game tonight on the Bet 1520. Also on ESPN Plus as UB plays a team named the Leopards that does not wear spots. Make it make sense.
You were the UB offensive coordinator in the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I took
you definitely talked like I know about these receivers.
I know this. I threw the ball to Nick McMillan all the time.
Yeah.
And I got hired at Oregon State after a couple of bowl games for UB. Two seasons.
See, that's how I think got knowledgeable about these leagues as a kid. I played the video games.
Yep.
So how do I get more knowledgeable about the college football? Play the game.
Yeah.
All right.
We got a Titans guest coming up at 9 o'clock. A little Titans preview. I've reached out to Matthew Collar for a quick take on Lewis Cine, who the Bills are adding to their practice squad. Oh yeah, and then what? Oh, tomorrow, hoping for a Brent Axe tomorrow for a Syracuse preview. Reached out to him.
Here we go.
Playoff baby. CFP.
Syracuse. Everywhere I go,
CFP.
I've got Syracuse. We're going 10-2 this year.
You think I've ever been obnoxious about anything? Wait till Syracuse gets good at anything again.
Who do they open with?
They open with Ohio.
Okay.
Saturday. Then Georgia Tech.
Who gets good first, Syracuse or the Sabres?
Well, I mean, it's Syracuse. They're going to be good in 2 days.
Yeah. We should also... they play Georgia Tech in week two. That's the number one team in the country right now.
What?
They're 1-0.
Oh, right.
They're 1-0. Who else is 1-0?
That's right. They're
the best 1-0 team out there.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Joe says Tage Thompson has gone too far.
Too far, Tage.
We'll get to that next.
I like the black. It's just sharp looking. Looks mean. I think it's just the fans love it too, right? So like when they're wearing those jerseys, they're fired up and just gives that extra energy in the building too, which is always nice.
That's Tage Thompson. It's time for the pick of the week. He's talking about the Sabres wearing black and red. My pick of the week. Let's switch to black and red. Pick of the week brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales, a 2016 Subaru Outback. First comes fall, then comes the time you need this Outback. It's loaded with all-wheel drive, one owner, and fresh from Florida. Check it out now, riverfrontautosales.com. Call Marty Sr., Marty Jr., 886-1626, a 2016 Subaru Outback. Four-door. Pick of the week, black and red all the time, Joe. What's your problem? You love black and red.
I love black and red. It just feels dirty after yelling about royal blue and bringing back that for 10 years. That after two to say, why don't we just throw it out and go black and red full-time?
If we're not fickle, what are we? Let's be fickle.
Why did I want black and red? I wanted my childhood Sabres represented on the ice. And I feel like I would be stealing that from a lot of fans if they got rid of the blue and gold. I think what they have now is perfect. Although, are these permanent?
The black and red?
Are they the third jerseys forever? Is there a team in the league that has like a permanent third jersey?
That's a good question.
Because I would like that to be true, but I don't know how many examples of that there are.
Well, you mentioned earlier today that Bills and Sabres COO Pete Quelle said that they're going to maybe release the black and red schedule next week.
Next week. Yep. Next week.
When do the Sabres leave for Prague?
The preseason opener, I think, is like 22 days.
It's the 21st, yeah.
21st.
So the Sabres preseason ends September 30th, and then the regular season begins October 4th. My guess is they leave. I wonder if they would send half the team.
They're going to send half the team because they have a preseason game in Germany. And then I think 2 days later, they have a preseason game in Buffalo. And then they have the regular season game in Prague. So the team is going to Europe. And then they will have a preseason game here.
That's like the third preseason game in the NFL.
And I think it actually coincides with a Bills game.
You know what they need?
There's going to be five people at that game.
Let's get Ben DiNucci on the ice in that game. That preseason game that's here.
Ben DiNucci?
Yeah. Multi-sport preseason athlete.
Excuse me, there are two preseason games after the Sabres play Red Bull Munich in Munich on the 27th.
Yeah, so they...
They will have two preseason games where they're fielding, like, no single player that will even be in competition to make the team.
The Sabres are in Germany, and they have a home preseason game.
The Monday after.
Mm.
Yeah.
A lot of travel.
Huh?
That's a lot of travel.
No. Yeah. No, I love black and red. Keep it forever as the third. I don't need it as the full-time home, though.
I look forward to finding out whether or not they travel on the right day based on if they beat the Devils in Prague. 803-0550, a Titans guest. When we get back, we'll talk about Will Levis and the Titans. We got to find out a little more about Lewis Cine. I've reached out to Matthew Collar in Minnesota about that. Bill signing out of the practice squad. There's also a receiver out there that they might add to the practice squad. There have been some reports about that. Jeremy and Joe, your calls. You want to chime in? Join us. We're having a good time here on a Thursday on WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.